Good afternoon, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
We're broadcasting from beautiful North Carolina.
I know, and beautiful it is. And I can feel everyone's been calling the Cardinals, and I can feel the migration headed my way.
Well, we had a couple of assignments over the weekend. So on Friday, what possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see. And then on Saturday, self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this issue? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hating messages. Example, you're so selfish for spending money on yourself. You should be grateful for what you have instead of wanting something so frivolous. You don't give money to those who need it. Note, self-hate often speaks in you voices addressing you as you. Record and listen to what you're seeing. And then on Sunday, there's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment, what message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? For example, the underlying message in the you can't get a massage statement is you don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow. Sure.
Hey, Pasha.
Good morning. I guess afternoon. I don't know what time you are in there.
Good afternoon for us and good morning for you.
Yes. I was recording and listening the assignment, and it came for me that the money question is between what I don't deserve or it's in a duality of what I don't deserve or what I should be given. So it's either. It's either they must, they might just, bring it to me, or there is something wrong, or I don't deserve to have it.
Uh-huh.
And in both cases, I am left with sense of, with a self-hate, either with deprivation or righteousness and
entitlement.
Yes, entitlement. Thank you.
Yeah. And there we go, back and forth. I should have everything. And
yes.
And of course we rarely, when we're identified with ego, question, really? Why would that be the case? Me more than anybody else. But I should have everything. No, I should not have anything. If I were the right person, I wouldn't even want anything.
Yes. It's a kind of a self-sacrificing attitude or entitlement attitude. And what it came up recently, and I have a question, if I may ask.
Yeah.
Regarding my job search. Which also runs the they either should have a job for me, or I'm left with like there is no jobs available. So I get recently applied for a local company, but it's a consulting company that involves travel, and they offer me the first assignment in. On the East Coast, in in Michigan. And and I went through the roller coaster of those dualities.
Yes. Yes, of course. Of course you would. Right?
Yeah.
Because Pasha, the thing that we're just, you know, that dualistic, egocentric voice doesn't want us to do is to just be still and see,
yes.
Right? See what comes to us. That's the, because you have to know, right? You have to, that's the urgency gets in there. You have to know, you have to give them an answer. You have to decide about this. And then there's the pros and the cons and the, how are you going to decide? And I don't want to, and you should, and off we go.
Yes.
So one of the good things about being in a situation like this is that we see if we're with ego, there's no good answer.
Yes.
You take that job and it's going to make you hate it. You don't take that job and it's going to beat you up because you should have.
Yes, exactly. And when I sit still talk with external people and kind of weather it out, that storm of ego, the tantrum that was thrown, then I see life says, it's okay. Wife says it's okay. You know, it's a temporary thing. And I'm looking up, you know, the support tools to be in Michigan. Like, and what's a virtual meditation group, you know, instead of the one I'm going in person? You know, what's the schedule?
That's right.
Be, you know?
That's
and,
right.
And they, yeah.
Well, yes. And sometimes, and then I know we need to move on, but sometimes not making a decision is making a decision. You know, if you don't get from life a strong sense of, then you might just flip a coin and you might just wait and see what happens, and knowing that if you don't get a pull to that job, then they'll offer it to somebody else, and there, that decision will be made.
Yes, and I'm right in that place, and it feels thrilling, nerve-wracking, and at the same time, it's a good practice place to not to go with any voices, because they
That's
became
right.
clear, invisible.
Yes,
and,
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So it's good. It's really good practice, isn't it? Those places ego hates are our best places of practice. Yeah.
Love it.
Keep us posted, Pasha.
Sure.
Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sure.
Go show.
Thanks, Pasha. Sherry, I think I was tracking this. I might have missed a nuance, but what dropped in around that is, you know, if there's a yes from life, we feel it. When there's a lack of information from life, it's a very loving thing to do, to wait, because why would we want to do something from the perspective of urgency or anxiety or whatever? There are no mistakes. Mm-hmm. So if I go this way, that's the way I go. But that place of I want to love to do what I want to do. And there's a way in which life, it signals on the level of enthusiasm what would most take care of us. And if we're going with that, with the voices, we are not still enough to realize that intuitively we are being guided.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the self-hate robs.
Yeah, and ego's excitement is not the same. Oh, excuse me, hang on. As that pull to well-being that you're describing, it's very subtle. Those voices can come in, this would be great. Oh, yeah, all your problems are going to be solved. You'll do this and this and this and this and this. And we want to be as leery of that one as, oh, don't do that, don't do that. That's going to be right? So we're really learning to be still and recognize that still small voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Marianne from Canada.
Good morning, Marianne.
I had a kind of a similar thing about come up about deserving and undeserving. And what I saw was it's so conditional. It's if I don't meet the standards, I don't deserve it. It seemed like underlying it was you only deserve it if you've met the standards of goodness, and there's no parameters for that.
That's a moving target, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and no matter how good you are, gosh, but then there was that. So I'm sorry, Marianne. You're
yes.
out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if I do deserve it, there's a kind of thing there's like, well, you deserve it. A kind of a punitive thing that, well, you got what you wanted, but look at what's happened because of that, and you you made the wrong choice, so you deserve the punishment.
You deserve what you get, by golly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the point being, no matter what we do, ego can turn anything into self-hate.
Yeah, and I think that for some reason, I think that was one of the messages I got in my family was about how you deserve it or you don't deserve it. And and so it's sort of one that I get caught on because I hear ego saying different times, well, you deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I don't know if it's still the case, but over the years, there have been so many commercials for products at that. You deserve it. You deserve that. You. And so to me, the most helpful place we can get to in awareness practice is we don't deserve anything because it turns into, in ego's hands, it turns into such an ugly thing. So if I have everything I need to be able to eat healthy food and live, you know, drink healthy water and live in a pretty place, then everybody who's not having that experience, well, it must be because they don't deserve it.
Yes.
And even though it would rarely, I think, well, no, that's not true. That's not true. Obviously, a lot of people in this world believe deeply that that is true, that anybody who is poor, it's because they don't deserve anything better. They don't work hard. They're lazy. They make bad decisions. So it takes us into really, really ugly places if we don't bring that up to the front of conscious awareness and just say, well, nobody deserves anything. All of it is just given to us.
Yeah, what I came to was, you know, it's like a trigger word, and that
mm-hmm.
now when I hear it, I will know that, oh, this is ego, and there is something,
that's right.
you know,
that's
something
right.
else to listen to. So it's such a strong message, and I guess because it's cultural as well
oh.
as familial,
yeah.
then
yeah.
it's one of those ones that you can go along for a long time without analyzing and going, what is the belief about this, or what is my assumption?
Yeah. Well, and without awareness practice, some kind of awareness practice, either this one or something, that causes us to stop and look at the messages that we're getting inside our heads. People live a lifetime, never questioning it, and always being unhappy in the way that you describe. Yeah, you deserve it, so you can have all this stuff, but you can't really have it. You can't enjoy it. Because there's just some unexamined something wrong with the whole process.
Well, I think the whole thing is that it's so conditional. And
yes.
that's mm-hmm. I think that's the bottom line. So
that's the bottom line. Not from center. Yeah.
No. So,
all right.
So I can choose the unconditional.
Yes, and Marianne, that kind of, when you have that kind of awareness, what's possible to do with it is make recordings. I'm the voices of self-hate talk to me about deserving and not deserving. What's really true is, and then you confirm for yourself what you know to be true. That whole issue is bogus. It has nothing to do with that. And then you're really using ego's negative messages to bolster your own well-being.
And to wake up.
And to wake up and end suffering. Exactly so. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Gosho.
Thank you, Gosho.
Thanks, Marianne. The thing that was dropping in for me around that is how much the conversation deflects us from paying attention to the point of the whole thing. That self-hate is merely there to erode our ability to look at ourselves through the eyes of love.
Yes.
That the very question of debating deserving or not deserving takes us away from the premise that, you know, there's no question about deserving or non-deserving.
Yes.
We exist in existence. I mean, that's about all the statement of deserving we need to have.
Yes, I'm here. You're here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's kind of the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Hey. Yeah, so such amazing. I just love this so much. Can't say. I don't know if there's too much appreciation for this program, but I'm really, really appreciating it and want to say that every time.
Yeah, I'm right there. I don't think we can say it too much. Part of the gratitude piece of the, we can just say thank you all day long for everything. Yeah.
Good. So interesting. The thing that I forget the assignment, but there's a message that above all else, I can't have too much money. Like, there's this magic amount that's
undefined,
enough.
I bet.
It's undefined, and it's also like an undefined comfort level that I can have, and anything else is like too much and greedy and slipping into like the bad rich people. So that's the no-win situation. And then, you know, what's available when I'm not in that is, I think, something that was said on the call on Friday is like, I can just be here and then maybe get messages or guidance from life to know how can I participate with whatever privilege or whatever I have that maybe I don't need, and how can I
what are you meant to steward, and what is just passing through, right? It's just from you to wherever it's going next. You know, Monica, it reminds me of something I think I must have been talking with Ashwini about recently. We were talking about somebody who was in different content, but a very similar process. And I said, you know, all I really want for people, my wish, hope, and prayer for people is not to listen to conditioned voices in the head. All the content in the world, from an awareness practice perspective, is just to bring us to that point. Don't listen to ego, right? Because as long as we do listen to that conversation in the head, it will influence us. If nothing else, to make you feel bad, right? Even if you're listening to it and you know it's not true, and on some level you don't believe it, it's still making you feel bad. It's still controlling you. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And with this, that's really what you're pointing at. That conversation has to die in order for you, and that would be you, would be all of us. Okay. In order for you to be available to the clarity that life will bring you in each moment.
Right. Right. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's so clear in this example for sure, because yeah, without that, then it's like in that, like, well, what's too much money and what should I do with it? Should I give it away? Should I, you know, what, blah, 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 blah.
What about those people? What about that cause? What about this?
Yeah.
But what if you don't save enough for yourself? You know, it's not like somebody's going to take care of you in your old age. Well, yeah, I hear you, sister.
Well, and the bottom line is like that nobody gets to enjoy it.
Right.
You know,
except ego.
Nobody's enjoying it, even though it's there. It's just like this torture thing. You know, it's so fascinating. I'm so appreciative to see it.
Yes, yes, yes. And again, to be able to step back and realize the only problem here is that conversation. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sum total of what is causing you not to enjoy everything that has been provided for you by life. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. Yeah. And it'll never lead to anything. That's the other thing you've seen that's so important.
Right.
It's never going to, you're never going to figure it out. Never going to take you anywhere.
Right. There's no way out.
That's right. There's no way out of that. Yep. Isn't
it? And
the
last
thing
I'll say before I hang, great. Something that you said, I think on the call, like, unless we're moving into a relationship with ourselves where we know, like, we're confident that we're okay, that everything is going to be okay or is okay, or, man, that just really, really hit me. Like, all of this stuff is taking away from that, which is, you know, like, part of being, getting here is just, you leave the self to go figure all this stuff out that has no answer.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. And to realize that, right, there's the self abandoned. There she is. She's been abandoned. Nothing that's going to go on in conditioned mind is going to help her. Only you coming back and embracing the unconditional is going to take care of her. That's the only reassurance she's ever going to have that she'll be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So all these areas just keep reinforcing that abandonment happened. You know, it's so, I really heard that, like, oh, wow, that's the, you know, whatever, not the magic bullet, but that can go in different ways. But I heard that and I really appreciated it. And I like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll say one other thing to you, Monica, because you worry about people. I know you well enough to know you worry about people. People don't have money. They don't have places to live. They don't have, they're homeless. They don't have medical care. They don't have all of this stuff. And so what I've always thought is if it all falls apart for me, I'm just going to start teaching meditation I can travel, be an itinerant monk from homeless encampment to homeless encampment. There will always be people who want to process. You could join me.
Right. Okay. Sounds good.
We got a plan.
All right. Yeah, got a plan B. All right.
Yeah,
thank
plan
you so
B.
much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Everyone,
bye-bye.
Thank you, Ashwini. Bye.
Thanks, Monica. There's another fabulous conversation, Cherry, because what I saw in that is if the most self-hating part of self-hate is that it calls us selfish. In that, the only way to enjoy what we have is by being present to what we're given. So the focus of attention has to be on this node of intelligence, not in the egocentric way, which is what egocentricity fears, within quotes, but just simply in a present way.
Not taking this person personally.
Yes, and that place of what Monica was pointing to is when we're here, this is what we have, and this is what we enjoy, and this is what we give, and this is it. This is how it is. And there's such a profound sense of okayness that wherever we come from, it's not from the perspective of leaving life or that spiritual sense of there's something to fix. That there's a way of accepting all of life, whatever the dimensions of it or manifestations of it, which doesn't mean that we can't be moved to do our part. It just simply means that where we move from where we do our part is not either selfish or self-hating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's so big, because most of us most people who are drawn to an awareness practice or spirituality or religion or whatever, come to it from being drawn by goodness to goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, that very draw is used against us, because yeah. Now it's the authority on whether I'm being the right good spiritual person or not. And so
yes.
We have to let go of what drew us to practice in order to be at one with what actually drew us to practice.
Yes, well, and I would say that if it's goodness to goodness, then part of the spiritual journey is growing in awareness sufficiently to be that contemplative context in which good versus bad is taken out of existence. So
yeah.
There's a way of having to accept suffering and all of what ego creates in this world to not be bad. And that opening in us that can reconcile that opposite as all good or nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong is the spiritual
mm-hmm.
journey. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough.
It is.
Why we
it's
all work at it so diligently.
Yeah. And it's heartbreaking from the place of heart opening. We have to, the
mm-hmm.
heart breaks open
mm-hmm.
to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
To have that
yeah.
bigger and bigger context.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me get another caller here. I think we have time for at least one more caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi, I'm glad to be on the air today. I've looked at money and anger, how I relate anger to money. And I know I feel like, I mean, I have enough to pay for all my necessities, but I think that I wish I had more money, and then so I could do more things. And
mm-hmm.
And then I think, well, I've failed, or I should have made more money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I
mm-hmm.
get into the whole thing about comparing myself to others. And you know, on one hand, I'd like to have what I'll tell myself I would like to have what some other people have, but then maybe I'll resent myself or I'll measure myself against them, and that reinforces that I'm not measuring up.
Now, Jamie, you know I have to change your language, as pesky
okay.
as it is, okay?
Right.
Because that's not you doing that. That's self-hate.
Right.
Self-hate
right.
is just constantly there to do the comparing, to do the judging, to do the criticizing, to make it your fault.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the part you don't need to go along with. So tell you quickly a little story from my own life. So I've been drawn to spirituality since a pretty early age. And
right.
when I hit about 45, everybody I knew was buying their second home, and they were traveling to Europe, and they were doing all of these things. And
right.
and that system wanted to take me down that road of, well, what about me, right? And then
right.
I realized, no, I made different choices. I've made different choices all my life, and those choices have brought me to this. There's nothing wrong with it, and I wouldn't actually change those choices. So I'm hoping that you'll look at your life that way
right.
and realize that you made choices, the best choices you could make for you all along, and you
right.
didn't do anything wrong in that.
Right. And I think there's nothing to say that I can't go out and try to do something that might make money or might not make money. Because I know my fears sometimes or might even limit my ability to actually try things that might work out.
Yeah, yes. Oh, Jamie, I can promise you that. The same voices
right.
that want to beat you up for not having enough
right.
money are going to stop you from doing what you would be able to
right.
do to have enough money. Absolutely.
Right.
That's how they work.
Yeah, they're running some sort of a scam, and I can just step out of that if I can.
That's right.
That's right. So,
and what we were just talking about with Monica is the secret. Okay, there he is. If you can see him, he's a really good human being. And he's trapped right. in this duality of you're not enough, no, you can't do anything else. And right. If you can step back and see him and see those hateful voices and what they're doing to him, then you can actually get on his side and support
right.
him not to listen to those hateful voices, support him to do what his heart calls him to do, and
right.
it may result in having more money, but certainly it will result in enjoying life more.
Right, I'll be freer, and I don't.
That's
it doesn't
right.
have to be a competition.
Like, that's right.
I make it into a competition sometimes in my head.
Ego makes it into a competition.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
all right.
Feels good to have that reinforced.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And Jamie, listen to this again, okay? And really take in how those voices get you to identify with them. That they get you to take ownership of what they're doing to you. And you don't want to do that because he's not doing that. he's
right.
he's the good human being who's trapped in that system.
Right. And I'll listen to this recording again, this discussion.
Yeah, and make some recordings to remind you that those hateful voices and that negativity and that comparison, that's not Jamie.
Right. Those are voices.
Yeah. Those are voices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jamie. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. Our assignment for today, the self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Record and listen to what you see.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. And
thanks, Sherry. Go happy.
Go happy.